to you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus; and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. Good morning, everyone. Every year, each diocesan priest in the archdiocese is given 5 days a year to go away and just spend some time to study, to do some academic work, and maybe relax just a little bit. So I did that this past Monday through Friday. And before I left, I went to visit my mom and dad, and as I was ready to leave, a car pulled up, and it was my brother Chris, who lives in Texas. And I didn't know he was coming home, and I said, "What are you doing here? Are you here for work? Are you here for family?" He goes, "Neither one of those." And I looked at him, and he goes, "I'm here for the World Cup." Now, you know how much I love the Dodgers. Multiply that times 10. That is my brother and his love for soccer. He is a fanatic. He's actually at the game in Houston right now watching Germany play as we speak. He loves soccer, and this has been his passion his whole life. So I was so happy to hear that he was coming into LA, but I joked with him. I said, "You better go hug mom and dad first, right?" And he did. He was able to spend time with them because the game wasn't until Friday. But while he was at the game on Friday, he was sending me the neatest pictures of the world. He went by himself to SoFi Stadium, but he quickly became friends with people. He was sending photos. They were all dressed in red, white, and blue, and he was having the time of his life. And of course, because the U.S. won, he felt even better. And after the game, he was telling me how cool it was that for this 3 hours that the game is being played, or however long it was, you know, people were just united behind their country. They were rooting for the U.S., and of course, he said the fans from Paraguay were just as lovely and having fun. And he said something really cool happened at the end of the game. He goes, "Fans of both sides were hugging each other and embracing each other." That would never happen at Dodger Stadium. You know that. If you're the enemy, you look down and you run to your car and you hope you get out alive. But it's really cool to see what's going on in the world right now. I have to admit, I'm not a soccer fan. I'm a typical American. I care every 4 years, right? But what's really neat about the World Cup is people are passionate, united, and for a brief moment in time, people forget what their differences are. Because we are different, we have different interests and passions, but it's so beautiful when we could unite together. And one of the greatest, not one of, the greatest thing that unites us is always Jesus Christ. And on the day that we were baptized, and the day that some of you will be baptized, and you already belong to us, I want you to know that. On our baptism day, Jesus Christ marks us forever, and he says, "You belong to me, and I have called each of you by name to be part of my church." and to journey with him all the way to heaven. And God willing, we will all be together one day in heaven. And this beautiful gospel is a reminder to all of us that just as he called the original apostles, he's calling each and every one of you by name every day to follow him and to do great things in his name. As I look out at all of you this morning, we all look different for a reason. And we all have different backgrounds and different gifts. But one thing that we all have in common is we were all created in the image and likeness of God. And every single one of you, your life is a gift not only for yourself, but for other people. And our Lord is calling you by name once again today. And he's saying, do the following things. He's first telling us, live a life full of compassion. Be so compassionate. Quit being so overly strict and judgmental. We're very good at judging people, are we not? We're so quick to judge and to put people in boxes. And sometimes we make people different than us than the enemy. They make them our enemy. And our Lord is telling us to do the opposite today. He's saying, I've called you by name to be full of compassion, to be full of empathy, to look at our diversity and say, this is what actually makes us strong, is that together we build up the people of God. Compassion is needed in this broken world, to be compassionate to people who don't have the same opportunity as us, to be compassionate to people that have hurt you, to be compassionate to those that we vilified in our society. That's what our Lord is demanding us to do and instructing us to do, is he's called us by name to do so. Our Lord is telling us very clearly in this gospel, there's no room for laziness, okay? He's telling us, be an active participant in your faith. Do not be a passive observer. No matter where you are in your life, you could do something. So if you're young and have energy and you're in that period of your life where God is saying to go out there and do great things and labor for the Lord, do it. Maybe now you have the gift of more time in your life. Your body doesn't move as quickly as it used to, but now you're able to spend more time in prayer. But what our Lord does tell us is every single one of us has a role, and every single one of us has work to do. So I hope and pray that when you die, Jesus is going to go, wow, you're from Holy Family. Look at all that you did. I hope he doesn't say the opposite. Oh, gosh, another one from Holy Family, okay? As your pastor of almost 3 years now, I'm so inspired by the good that you do every day as the parish. I mean that. The involvement here is wonderful, but we're not in heaven yet. So God doesn't want our excuses. He wants our active participation. One of the great things that this gospel is challenging us to do is to bring healing to the world, to visit the sick, to be there for them in their difficult moments, to forgive people who have hurt you. And when people that we love deeply hurt us, it is tough. And sometimes we are guilty of hurting others as well. So our Lord is telling us that he has called us to bring healing to the world. So who in your life needs some healing? Who needs some extra love? Can you imagine how blessed that person would be if you lived out this gospel where Jesus commands us to go out and to heal those who need it? And finally, now these are my words. I'm not quoting Jesus right now, okay? Our Lord is saying, don't be a cheapskate. What is he saying? Be generous with your life. Don't hold back. Generosity could be shown in so many different ways. The gift of time, to be present with somebody, to be present with somebody without your phone and actually listening to them, checking in on them. If God has blessed you financially, to give of that, because God has blessed you, and to give as our Lord has instructed us to. Generosity, because God has been generous with us. My dear friends, has God blessed you in your life, yes or no? He's blessed all of us in different ways. But one thing we do know is that the greatest gift of love and generosity we've ever received is that Jesus died for every single one of us, that we may have eternal life in heaven. And because Christ died for us, we are called to be generous with who we are, generous with our life until the day we die. So I'm so blessed to be your pastor because I see the good in each and every one of you. And our Lord is calling all of us by name once again to listen to him and to follow him until we get to heaven together. Amen?
Amen.
So how's this gospel speaking to you? Where is our Lord asking you to be more generous with your life? Where have you held back? And where is our Lord saying, the time for holding back is done. I need you to be more generous as I'm instructing you to. Generosity, how are you going to live that out in your daily life?